Welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why there's still one scenario that could get Tony Romo back on a football field.
And I'm Colin Carrot, and I'll tell you why Tom Brady was right to tell everybody to mind their own business. Speak for yourself on a Monday. Starts right now.
Of course he was. We agree.
I don't even divulge when I have an ice cream headache. It's none of your business.
All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by a couple of Super Bowl champions, Mark Schlereth and Eric Davis. Let's start with the big NFL news out of Miami and the fact I got Schlereth's name right, where Jay Cutler agreed to a one-year, $10 million deal with the Dolphins on Sunday after Ryan Tannehill went down with a knee injury last week. The move has a lot of people up in arms because Cutler is the latest quarterback to get a job before Colin Kaepernick, who was also rumored to be up for the Miami gig. Cowherd, are you surprised Cutler got a job before Kaepernick?
No, I said Friday on my radio show I would have called him. Relationships matter. If I said to you, you're going to start a company, you got 3 weeks, which is basically what the Dolphins have, you'd be like, okay, what friends do I know? We all lean on our friends. We all lean on relationships. We do it in the media. You do it in law. You do it in sports. And football, for people that haven't played it, and you guys all have, there's a language. And Adam Gase and Cutler have the same offense. It can be plug and play to a large degree. I think it works. I predicted it Friday. I miss a lot, but this one seemed obvious to me.
I don't even understand how Kaepernick is in this conversation in Miami. Jay Cutler has a relationship with a coach. Again, like you said, knows the offense, knows the language of the offense. Is a more talented pocket passing quarterback than Colin Kaepernick. And also doesn't have the baggage of having worn socks that depicted cops as pigs, hasn't worn a Fidel Castro T-shirt in a city like Miami with a big Cuban population, and doesn't have a group of sycophants ready to play the race card if something goes poorly for Jay Cutler. You can actually sign Jay Cutler, play him, bench him, cut him, do whatever, without being called names. It's why wouldn't you hire that guy?
Well, I'm surprised. And only not that he signed with the Dolphins, that Jay signed with the Dolphins. For every reason you guys just brought up, it makes sense, okay? He understands the offense and all of those things. He's played in Adam Gase's offense, and they realize that they need a starting quarterback. That's what I'm looking at. You like Matt Moore as your backup. You're looking for someone to be your starter, and it makes sense for Adam Gase to go do that. The surprise for me comes from the fact that you had one guy that said he didn't want to play and took another job, and then you have a guy who wants to play. So not necessarily with the Dolphins, but I would have expected Colin Kaepernick to get an opportunity before Jay Cutler because Jay had retired and moved on. That's my
only
surprise.
Don't players say a lot of things?
Well, you say a lot of things, but you don't take other jobs. So I mean, he not only said I'm out of this, he dropped the mic on football, but he signed on to be an analyst for Fox.
Someone has to want to give you a job in order to take
it. He signed on to be an analyst with Fox without seeing his contract so he could leave when some NFL team called him. I mean, don't forget now, he's coming off a labrum tear and a labrum surgery that he had in December as well. So there was some point of time there where he probably wasn't ready to play. But the bottom line is, the reason this makes so much sense is they have that relationship like you talked about. There's no question about that. They speak the same language. Listen, you can say whatever you want about Jay Cutler. He's probably the biggest, the biggest tease in the National Football League, in the history of the National Football League. The guy has got unbelievable talent. He mopes around like Mopey McMoperson. You know, you look at him, you're like, what kind of leadership does this guy have? He has none. But the bottom line, he can flat out throw the ball. And he's smart. He understands Adam Gase's system. And in that system, by the way, he completed almost 65% of his passes for 3,600 yards, 21 TDs, 11 interceptions. The guy can play from the pocket, and he can speak that language, the check with me systems, the checks from the line of scrimmage, the spread aspect of what Adam Gase wants to do. He knows it. He walks in there. If Colin Kaepernick, if you were to hire Colin Kaepernick, you've got to completely change your offensive system, and 10 guys have to learn a new one.
Well, you know what? Not necessarily that you have to change it, but you have to start teaching it all over again.
Right.
So if you don't believe that Matt Moore is your starter,
right,
and you say, I want to bring someone in to be the starter, you have to teach him your offense or get someone that already knows it.
But you have to teach the other 10 guys that have been working through OTAs in the first part of camp. You've got to say, hey, we're going to change. We're
going to slow everything down.
We're going to add some things to it. We're going to take some things away. So that's it makes perfect
sense. Well, no, that's the assumption. That's the assumption that he can't run the offense.
Eric is saying he could run that offense. They just have to teach him. You're saying they would have to change the offense and run an offense that works for Colin Kaepernick.
Well, you could run it. Could you run it efficiently? Because the one thing that he's shown me over the course of his career is that in a spread zone read, run first type of get on the edge, one read, you're throwing it to this guy, X slant, and we're gonna show that handoff, then we're gonna throw the X slant. Can he operate that? Absolutely. A pro style between the hashes offense, Colin Kaepernick has showed me he lacks in that.
He struggled in that.
Right.
I agree with that.
By the way, this I lived in Florida for 2 years, in Tampa. Huge Cuban population, influential. Like, the Castro shirt to me is not a little deal that Kaepernick wore. Ozzie Guillen, at the time, was a wildly flamboyant popular manager. Made a comment as the Marlins manager about Castro. Had to apologize to the city. He was employed and popular, and they said, they put on the brakes. Kaepernick's unemployed, and last time he was in Miami was booed. He's unpopular. In South Miami, befriending or speaking well of Castro is a huge negative.
Don't get this crossed over right here. I'm not saying that I thought that was the spot for him. I'm just saying, I'm surprised that a guy who took another job got an opportunity him. That's all I'm saying right there. I don't think that was necessarily the spot for him as well.
Hey, it's Jason McIntyre, and before we move into the next topic, I want to take some time to tell you about ZipRecruiter. I started thebiglead.com, and I know firsthand how much of a challenge it is to put the right team together. You got to hire the right people. You cannot find the best candidates by posting your job just to one website. You need to post it to all the sites. At ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to over 100 job sites with just one click. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in less than 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. And right now, our listeners can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/speak. That's ZipRecruiter.com/speak. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/speak. And you can start building your perfect team right away. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, to Colin Kaepernick, who was mentioned in connection with a couple of quarterback jobs last week, but is yet to find an owner willing to take a chance on him. Now an owner in another sport, Mark Cuban, says Kaepernick and his protests would be more accepted in the NBA. Here's Mark Cuban. I don't know what his status is in the NFL, but I'm glad the NBA doesn't have a politician litmus test for our players. I'd like to think we encourage our players to exercise their constitutional rights. Colin Cowherd, do you think Kaepernick would be embraced in the NBA?
Oh, I laugh at this. So if Kaepernick was an NBA player and he wore a Fidel Castro T-shirt, they'd be okay in the Heat acquiring him? Or, by the way, if he played for the Wizards or the Knicks and his girlfriend called that owner a slave owner, they'd be okay with that? Let's be honest about this. The NBA does not allow you to sit for the anthem. The NFL does. Listen, I know it's popular now to say the NFL, it's draconian, it's hard. This goes back to what I said about celebrations. Every time they tell me the NFL doesn't allow celebrations, I run that 8-minute clip of guys celebrating and there's no flags. The NFL, it's become kind of mythology. It's the no-fun league. Players are well compensated. They have fun. They can kneel for the anthem. You know, it's Kaepernick who moved out of a contract. They were going to cut him probably anyway. But let's slow down on the NBA's doesn't discipline players ever and the NFL's awful. I don't buy that.
You laid it out beautifully. They have a rule in place. You can't protest during the national anthem. You have to stand for the national anthem. They have history. Mahmoud Raouf. Yeah. Did this in the NBA and got run out of the NBA. Craig Hodges got run out of the NBA because of his highly militant pan-Africanist thoughts. Run out of the NBA. It's been what people just say stuff. I would like to say something else, but people just say things now. They don't. Mark Cuban is an owner in the league who must not know his league's own history. Their rules in the NBA are more restrictive and more punitive than the NFL. There were 8 guys that protested last year along with Kaepernick with the knee stuff and everything. 7 of them are in the NFL. Kaepernick's the only one because he's done it more idiotically and stupidly and surrounded himself with a group of sycophants that want to throw the race card at everybody, and people are just like, I ain't got time for it.
What's happening right now, Cap, is the first. You guys touched on a lot of things. This is the first time it's happened in the NFL. In the NBA, it's already happened. So you said there are rules in place. But there's another thing he's sitting here saying that it would be embraced. No, it wouldn't be embraced. It would be tolerated. You know why? You look at what Cap did. Cap had just – he was on the second year of a $126 million deal. Okay, if he was in the NBA, that would have been a guaranteed $126
million. Thank you,
So Cap got released with $87 million on his contract. So Mark Cuban, if there's a guy on your team doing something that you don't like, you owe him $87 million. Regardless, right. You tolerate it. That's the difference. They're obligated to their players, and the league is not. That's the difference.
You know, 100% right. You're comparing apples to oranges.
No, apples
and
are
it's,
great.
Right. I mean, it's not. You're
100%
right. It's not even close. If there were guaranteed contracts, you would tolerate it. And you'd say, how are we going to work this out, buddy? How are we going to make sure that you're okay and that everything goes forward and we're going to get the best out of you? Because you have to. You owe them that money. 100%, man. That's the difference.
My whole life, I'm old enough. The NBA's always been a players' league. It's always been a players' league.
Sure.
Look how since it's David Stern, gone. Since David Stern arrived, the name on the back was that college basketball is about coaches and systems. NBA is about stars, Magic. I mean, that's the reality of it. By the way, you don't fire in the NFL for all the lack of power the players have. You fire the coach, not Brady. In the NBA, you fire the coach, not the star. Like in the NBA, if you're a star, you run the franchise. LeBron runs the franchise.
And ultimately, in the NFL, you know what you're rooting for? You're not rooting for stars. You have a few stars, but you're rooting for the laundry, man.
Yes.
You're rooting for the uniform.
Go ahead.
I want to add one other thing, though. Just add into that. It's a players' league. But the NFL is a more successful league.
Yes.
And part of the reason why is because it's not a players' league. I was once a player. I was too stupid to know which way was right, which way was left. I was too stupid not to drink and smoke weed and do all kinds of stuff when I was a college player. Young people just aren't as smart as older people. I had to get to be 50 years old to realize I was an idiot at 25. That's what player-run league won't be as successful as the NFL. It's run by mature people.
Yeah, you know, another part of this where Cuban is trying to say how progressive that the league is and how they will do – the NFL needs to catch up. And I agree in some aspects there are some things that are there. But remember, Sterling was there. And everybody knew it, okay? And until TMZ got involved, Sterling was okay.
You're right.
So let's not talk about how progressive everything is for the NBA, okay?
All right, welcome back, Mark Solera. Eric Davis are back. Let's return to Miami, where Jay Cutler ended up signing with the Dolphins on Sunday. Now there's some speculation that another prominent quarterback could follow him from the broadcast booth to the field, with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram asking, quote, will some other desperate team out there come calling for Tony Romo? Romo reiterated over the weekend that he's done playing. Cowherd, do you believe Romo will stay retired?
2 reasons, yeah, because I think CBS is paying him a lot of money. That's why they put him with Jim Nantz. And that's why we put Cutler in a 3-man booth and probably, I'm guessing, didn't load up the Brinks truck. So I think CBS said, we're going to pay you a lot of money.
What's a lot? Name me a lot.
$5 million a year.
Okay. Cutler just got 10 for one.
But I'm saying to be a broadcaster. Okay.
No. The Bear or Miami just paid him $10 million to play quarterback.
Okay.
So let's say CBS paid Tony $8 million. Let's say that's $8 million. You think Jerry Jones, in a pinch, wouldn't pay him $15 to come save his Super Bowl season?
That was just the first of 2.
You're getting crushed right now.
I'm not having a great day.
No.
The second one is, the last time I saw Tony Romo, I thought, like, he broke his back. I mean, collarbones broken multiple back. Like, Jay Cutler's 34. He hasn't been perfectly healthy, but he seems a lot thicker and more... He's healthier than Tony Romo, broken back 37-year-old guy.
Tony Romo will play for the Dallas Cowboys if something happens to Dak Prescott. the exact same conversation we just had about Jay Cutler will apply. Oh, guess who's familiar with the offense? Guess who knows who can just step right in there and have a rapport with the head coach and the entire locker room? Tony Romo. Tony Romo has said, I'm 99.9% retired. That 0.1 is Dallas. And if Dak Prescott gets hurt in a significant way where he'll miss more than two or three games, Tony Romo will cape up out of the broadcast booth and head back to Dallas.
You buy that?
No, I don't think he's coming back. I think he's going to stay retired because he doesn't have what Jay Cutler has, and that's the luxury of having different people around on different offensive staffs to where you can go and play for an Adam Gase down in Miami. There's one spot. There's one offense he's been in. There's one,
system
he's been a part of, the coaching staff, all the people that he is around there in one spot. You have a young quarterback that's there. So what you're saying is that the quarterback has to get hurt, and Tony Romo has to call these games, do all that prep, fly around doing that, and in the meantime, keep himself prepared to play football, keep himself in shape for playing football. I don't see that happening. I think he's done.
I think there's one team, like you said, and one team only. And if they come calling, and I wouldn't be surprised if they already have a deal in place. If Dak Prescott goes down, you are the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback. Because if you think you're relying on Kellen Moore, I got news for you, brother. You're going to have a tough year. You got the best offensive line in football. You got a great running game. You can maintain it. I don't even think he needs to come into shape. I mean, you just roll off the broadcast booth. I still think you're better than anybody on that roster. So that's the only place, though. That's the only place I see him going to play is the Dallas Cowboys. I don't see him going anywhere else, leaving that broadcast booth for anybody else.
I don't see him going there because if he goes back, he has too much to lose. He's going up on that, you know, he's going to go up on the ring in the Ring of Honors right now. He comes back. If he comes back, he has to be savior.
But if he comes back and they don't win. Hey, man, he's 37. He's been injured. You know, he gave it the good old college try, man. Yes. Great job. But if
he walked out. Why? Because he should be the starter. He's in the broadcast booth right now because they decided to give the keys to the franchise to someone else. And if he comes back and he's not the savior, I think it looks bad on him. And I think he's going to think about that.
Remember when Tony Romo held that press conference like in the middle of the year with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like, I'm done here. Tony loves the golf. He hangs out with Mr. Golf Jim Nance. Isn't it quite possible Tony's segue out? Tony was beat up. Tony's got a young baby. Tony's done with football. Like, I mean, I look at Tony and Jim Nance and him talk golf all day. And Tony loves the golf. He's, you know, he's a real player. He's got a young kid. He basically signed off halfway through the season. It's been great here. I really think this next kid.
Colin, let me ask you one question. Honest to goodness.
Just because I had a bad show, don't pick on me.
Just think about it. Just think. The greatest job in all of sports, is quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Nobody has a better job. Bob Costas doesn't. Michael Jordan never had a job better than that. It's the greatest job in all of sports. And you think Tony Romo wouldn't say, let me try it one more time?
I don't. I think he's beat up. I think it's over. I think he knows
it. Can I tell you something? I've had 29 surgeries. I go out to Broncos camp every day. I watch them do one-on-ones. I'm like, I'm better than that guy right now. I kid you, because I'm that stupid.
Yeah, you.
I am that dumb that I really.
That's really dumb.
Right, but you know, when you think about it, come on, we all deep down inside, we're all still 20. I look in the mirror, I still see 23. I mean, I'm a wreck, but I just feel like, hey, give me one play and I get it done.
You know what? I go to camp all the time and I watch guys and I'm like, you know what? I know how to make a team, but that's not what I'm worried about making a team.
Right.
It's getting through that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice. Okay. And that's what Tony's going to think about. It's not the game on Sunday. Everybody wants to play on Sunday.
Right.
It's all the other stuff, and Tony doesn't want to do that anymore.
So week nine, with just a few weeks left in the season, and you're looking at a $10 million check?
Looking at him out of shape. By,
he does want to do it.
He won't be ready. Tony Romo loves football like Tom Brady loves football. We don't think that Cam and Tom have the same.
Are you kidding me?
Tony would be playing right now if they had told him he was going to be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. He's got the best team he ever had.
Tony Romo just loves to compete. That's why he wants to play golf. That's why he's dressing up with the Dallas Mavericks. The guy loves being on a team, involved in competition, and quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys is the greatest job in all of sports.
I think owner he's not of the coming Cowboys back though. It's a better job.
No.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that's
Jerry
good.
Jones.
That's pretty good.
It's a good job, but Jerry Jones would love to go out there in the center and be the hero.
Okay, to New England, where Tom Brady addressed the media on Friday and talked about all kinds of stuff. But still managed, of course, to dodge questions about whether he had a concussion last season. As his wife Giselle alleged back in May, here's Brady.
I don't want to get into, you know, things that happened in my past, certainly medical history and so forth. I really don't think that's anybody's business. So, you know, what happened last year and, you know, I'm focused on this year and improving and working on things I need to get better at.
All right, Whitlock, should the NFL want Tom to be more honest about the concussion discussions?
No, and I say that because the media right now is so irresponsible and so sensational and has the conversation about football and concussions so out of context, can't handle the truth. And so, I blame the media. It's last week or 2 weeks ago, the Baltimore Ravens made the mistake of being honest and transparent. Hey, we have some interest in Colin Kaepernick. And you know what that got them? Called a bunch of racists and bigots for not signing him. The media can't handle the truth. And so I don't want, if I was the NFL, I don't want an honest conversation from Tom Brady about this issue because it'll be exploited.
You know, I've always wondered, and you guys played, I've never understood why the NFL discloses any medical records. If I was a coroner and I knew a back had a bad knee and it was in the paper, I'd go after the knee. Like, I don't think players
should... Well, it is...
In, for gambling.
I mean, it's out there. Yeah, the information's out there for gambling.
It's amazing
and,
to
but
me.
You know if someone's injured, and you're right. If someone has a sore shoulder, you're gonna bang it.
Of course.
You're going to tug on the sore leg. Of course. That's what you do.
I've never understood why... First of all, I grew up in a time where my mom and dad, if I had a comment about something I didn't know about, would say, you don't know anything about that. Now actors discuss global warming. We live in a time where not meteorologists right. or scientists, but the guy who played a pirate in a superhero movie is lecturing me on global warming. Like, Tom Brady shouldn't talk about medicine. He doesn't know. I mean, you guys may have had concussions. You've told me you've seen stars.
Right.
Are you sure it was a... I mean, I don't know.
I blacked out. I knocked myself out in every game I ever played, at least for a split second, where you wake up on the ground and you're like, wow, that's a good one. And that's just part of the game. I agree with Tom in this. It's nobody's business. It isn't. It's nobody's business. And I'll tell you what the NFL doesn't want to know. I mean, you think about the NFL. Like 2 years ago or a couple years ago. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Case Keenum gets knocked unconscious on the field, right? I mean, he's literally snoring on the field. The official steps over the top of of Case Keenum to spot the freaking ball. Like, he steps over the top of him, like, I gotta get this ball spot. Nobody stops the game. The trainer comes out to check, and they send him back, like, you can't be on the field. The spotter upstairs does nothing. The game goes on. He stays in the game, and the Rams are not fined at all. Like, nothing to see here, folks. Move along. We don't want anybody to know. Yet a player goes incidental head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet. It's completely accidental, something that you can't avoid, and he gets fined $50,000. Like, we don't hold the organizations to any standard at all. The NFL is just like, hey, you know what? Sorry, folks, park's closed. Moose outside should have told you. Just move on.
Yeah, you do not. The league is happy that he's not talking about it. Number one, I knew day one he wasn't going to talk about it because when it first happened, there's no way he's going to step out there and say, you know what? My wife is lying. She doesn't know what she's talking about. There is no way he was going to discuss that. I knew that. I knew that from the start. There was no way because he would have to say his wife lied for him to discuss it. Because he's not going to walk out and say she's correct because that would open a can of worms. So the best thing for him to do is not talk about it. And the league is happy that he's not talking about it because this is the face of the league. You don't want the face of the league saying that you're not protecting him. That I'm out here with these concussions and you're supposed to have all this protocol in place to make it safer, and it's no safer. So as far as them not doing that, I get it. I understand it.
I would say this. You know, the league always throws a bunch of propaganda out there about player safety being their number one concern, and we know that that's not the truth. That's couldn't be further from the truth.
I disagree with that, but continue.
Okay, that's fine. If the league truly cared about the player safety, then guaranteed contracts would be their number one priority. Because let me tell you this, one person in the history of the National Football League has ever self-reported a concussion. That was Ben Roethlisberger. Why? Because he's a $100 million man, and you know what? He's not afraid of losing his job. The rest of us yopes that play in the league, I'm afraid of losing my job. I don't want to get Wally pipped.
Player safety has to be weighed against business sanity and whether or not guaranteed contracts would be a sane business move trumps
That's because owners can't control themselves. You know why? Because owners look at that player. It's like a big, you know, it's like a big slice of pie. And they're like, oh, my God, I'm salivating for that. I love that. And they can't if they just kept it to. Yeah, if they kept it to manageable contracts, three-year deals, whatever it is, they could make that. But they will never do that because they look at that player and like, oh, my God, I got to have that guy. He's going to win me a championship.
It's also possible, like a lot of things, it's fluid. Like the NFL 30 years ago lied, then they were caught, then they don't lie, and then they're figuring it out, and then we'll move to guaranteed contracts. I think this is like a lot of things and a lot of businesses. The NFL got caught not being transparent.
Right.
The NFL had to pay $1 billion or $800 million. The NFL is now like, uh-oh, youth league participation's down. The media's caught up to us. League of Denial book. Uh-oh, let's change helmets. Let's reduce hitting in the CBA. I think it's fluid. I think the NFL does now care more about safety. Certainly more than 40 years.
Absolutely.
I think they care more. I agree. Yeah.
I think they care more about it.
But it's not their number one priority. I agree.
That sounds irresponsible. But here's what I also think. What Tom Brady is saying in this moment and what the NFL owners and commissioner are leaning on, they think it's a fair exchange. Tom's going to make $150 million.
Yes.
And he may leave here
with
some
concussions. That's a very good.
Eric Davis is going to leave here with $20, $30 million.
And by the way,
and
caveat emptor. We know now. You've told me before. I knew I was getting hurt when I played. I'd do it again. The league is basically doing what you're saying. Yeah. It's a trade-off.
I knew I was doing irreparable damage to my body, and I chose to play.
Welcome back. Mark Schlereth, Eric Davis here. Let's move to Cam Newton, who hasn't run a full practice at Panthers camp since developing soreness in his surgically repaired shoulder, his right shoulder, last week. But Cam's not the only quarterback having trouble in training camp. Andrew Luck hasn't even taken the field at Colts practice this year and is still on the physically unable to perform list. Whitlock, who are you more concerned about, Cam or Luck?
I'm more concerned about Cam because happiness is based on expectations. And I think the expectations for Cam Newton are through the roof. He's 2 years removed from being the MVP, playing in a Super Bowl. He's flamboyant and not outspoken, but he's just an out there personality. He's put some pressure on himself. He has to live up to the hype that his play has generated. He generates with the way he dresses and the way he handles himself. I'm most concerned about Cam Newton because, you know, I think Ron Rivera is both coaches. Pagano's in a tough spot too, but I think the relationship between Cam and Ron Rivera is at a critical point. It's a make or break year. They've given him the pieces to work with. It's a make or break year for Cam.
Yeah, I disagree. I think Cam has the advantage of better ownership. I don't trust Indianapolis's ownership. I think they could be impatient and rush Andrew Luck back. I think they've botched Andrew Luck's career to a large degree where he carried it now in the last 2 years. He's not healthy. Like, I think it's been established. Cam's a little hot and cold. Coaches aren't always in love with him. He's a superstar, prototype quarterback, big personality. He's had the same owner. He's had the same coach. He's had the same David Shula coordinator, quarterback coach. I think Cam's surrounded by supportive people. He's had generally a good defense. I don't trust the Colts. Now, I like Chris Ballard, but I don't know him well enough. I don't know they're not going to keep I think they've butchered Andrew Luck to this point. I don't think they've butchered Cam. I think Cam has been largely what he was in college, spectacular and sometimes inconsistent.
And that's the exact reason why I'm more concerned for Cam. All the reasons you just said, you look at the ownership of the coach, you look at the surrounding teammates that the Colts have there that Andrew Luck has. You don't feel like the team has been put in place for him to be successful. For all of those reasons, that's why Cam has more pressure on his shoulders. I agree with Whitlock on that. He's already taken a team to the Super Bowl. He's been the MVP of the league. The expectations are for him to continue to play at that level, even from ownership. You're right. He does have the same ownership. He has everything that he needs around him, the good defense. All the pieces are in place, so he is expected to take the team there, and he's having problems with his throwing arm. Not only that, he's expected to start changing the way he plays now. Stay in the pocket more. Don't do all these things. The expectations are for him to continue to grow and rise. So he's supposed to change things, continue to win while he's not healthy, because we're all going to expect that big body, right, to get when he gets out there with that big body. Of course, he has to feel great.
Yeah, I think the big concern for me with Cam, and the reason I have more of a concern for Cam, is because what you're asking Cam to do is to not be Cam. What made him an MVP? I mean, they had 8 designed runs. They're running quarterback counter out of that offense. 8 designed runs a game, plus 4 or 5 scrambles a game. I mean, he is one of the most dynamic athletes on planet Earth. The hand of God reached down, touched him, and said, "You're special. Ain't going to be nobody like you." I mean, the guy's a freak show. But now what you're saying is you can no longer, this is unsustainable. We can't keep you healthy or, you know, our franchise player. So you have to play from the pocket. Last year, he completed 52% of his passes from the pocket. That is far below average for an NFL quarterback.
That's Tebow-like.
That it's just not good enough. And so that is a huge transition for him to say, we're going to take what you do best and we're going to start eliminating it, paring it out of the offense. When Andrew Luck comes back, you know what Andrew Luck's going to do? He's going to stand in the pocket and throw the football. Now, you could argue that his offensive line, you know, to call him average would be an abomination to average things, right? I mean, they're terrible up front, and they have done him no favors. But he can assimilate himself right into that offense, where Cam Newton's got a learning curve coming into this new offense that they want him to run.
And the thing about it, and you just said it, and because of the injury, he's not, forget the learning curve, he's not able to actually go out
practice. That's a big thing,
too. So that's the thing. Right now, he's sitting in camp, and through the OTAs and everything else, he hasn't been able to work on this new cam.
You don't get better covering a guy by just watching other people cover a guy.
You got to remember, Andrew Luck has you out here to cover up for any mistakes, anything he does, you can rationalize it.